freedom this weekend all around the nation. But there's no true freedom without Jesus Christ. Written in the Gospel Herald, one can read the following. Herod could incarcerate John the Baptist and finally behead him, but John was free while his captor was a slave, although he was called king. Nero was the slave while Paul was God's free man shouting, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," while he was in a Roman prison. King James could imprison the humble tinker, John Bunyan, for preaching on the streets of Bedford a great spiritual emancipation. But Bunyan was free in his soul. Madame Guyon was imprisoned in the lonely Bastille, but she sang, "Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Minds innocent and quiet take these for a hermitage. When I am free within my heart and in my soul am free, angels alone that soar above enjoy such liberty." This is the true freedom that lives under the compulsion of Jesus' love celebrate. And so I say to you, brothers and sisters, on this Memorial Day weekend, are you really free? Not as a citizen of the United States of America, but are you free in that heavenly country, God's home? Because that is true freedom. Or are you still under the dominion of sin, compelled to give way to evil tempters and lusts? If so, I call to you today to move towards Christ and his kind of freedom, which is real freedom. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has made us free from the law of sin and death. So on this Memorial Day, what should strike the chord of memory is, I think, very well given by Father Ryan when he said this: "A land without ruins is a land without history. A land that wears a laurel crown may be fair to see, but twine a few sad cypress leaves around the brow of any land, and be that land barren, beautyless, and bleak, it becomes lovely in its consecrated coronet of sorrow and wins the sympathy of the heart and of history. Crowns of roses fade. Crowns of thorns endure. Calvaries and crucifixions take deepest hold of humanity. The triumphs of might are transient. They pass and are forgotten. The sufferings of right are graven deepest on the chronicles of the nation." The greatest memorial we have today is the love that Jesus showed us through his suffering as a sacrificial payment for our sin, each of our individual sins. And it's because of his love, we who have humbly admitted our sin and repented, calling on Jesus as Lord or commander of our life, and trusting in him alone, not in our works or our goodness, but trusting in him alone as the Savior of our eternity, we can say, "I am confident that I am free." Let's pray. Holy God, you tell us that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us so that we could be free from the punishment that we deserve, eternal punishment, death and hell. You tell us that all we have to do is accept your free gift of Jesus, and we can avoid it. We can be freed. Jesus, you loved us so much that you obediently came and you suffered mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical torture and death to pay the sacrifice. You're the only one that can do it. You're perfect. And you paid that sacrifice and payment for our sin, my sin. Yes, you were buried. You were absolutely physically killed. You were physically buried. But we know that you physically rose from the dead. But not as the first and last, but of the first to be risen. And all those who accept God's gift through you will also be risen one day in a glorified fleshly body. We look forward to that day. Those of us who truly believe. Today, may we have a great reminder of what we know because of your love. For anyone here, Holy Lord, anyone here that has not been set free through your gift of freedom, salvation, they're prisoners within their own selves, even living in this free country. I pray that today they will be freed. That you will bring a spirit and mind of understanding what it is to be set free with you as Lord and Savior Jesus, and Savior meaning of our eternity. It's in your name, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, we've read this particular passage I'm about to read for the past couple weeks. We focused on the fact that this gives us our goal as we discover what do we know because Jesus loves us. We sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, we know he loves us. But because of Jesus' love, there's a whole lot more that we can know. Now, I had mentioned, I believe in the first week, that I scoured the internet trying to find what others have said, what do we know because of Jesus' love, and I couldn't find, I found one thing. And so there was a member that took that as a challenge. And they too scoured, I don't know for how long, but they scoured the internet too. And they agreed, there's not anything out there specifically that says, what do we know because of Jesus' love? I think it's so important for us. Those who truly believe, we need to know what we know because of Jesus' love. And for those who are questioning whether they believe or not, or are seeking to believe, you need to know. What do we know, truly know, because of Jesus' love? Why? Again, for the end goal that we're going to read here in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14 to 19. For this reason, Paul said, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love. And to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So here it is again, our goal. Our goal as we study these things of what do we know, and please understand, even in this series, it is not fully comprehensive of all we know. I'm hoping to hit the highlights of what we know because of Jesus' love. And through that, the goal is that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we as a church body, we as individuals will gain a filling of the fullness of God. To truly understand what I hope, my hope for myself, my hope for you, is that each Sunday, more and more and more, we leave these walls with vigor to do what God has called us to do, and that is to love others toward loving Jesus. And have the fullness of God in us and through us. That's the goal in what is being preached here. And so we look now at the last part of chapter 3 in Ephesians, verse 17, the last part of verse 17 through verse 18, where it gives us the foundation of what we'll point to. Today, as we see God's Word, we're going to see that we can be confident that we are free. Ephesians 3, the last part of 17 and 18. You being rooted and firmly established in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love. Jesus loves me, and I am rooted and firmly established in His love. This I know. This rooting and establishing of Jesus' love gives us the confidence that we're free. It gives us the confidence that we're free from deserved eternal punishment, meaning we deserve to be condemned. Every one of us. If all we did in all our life was one time disobey mom and dad, and can anybody say they never once disobeyed their parents? I don't think so. Even that one thing condemns us to an eternity of hell, because God is that holy. His glory is that great. He cannot have even the smallest inkling of sinfulness. And so we have this deserved punishment. But through His gift of Jesus Christ, we have been freed from this deserved condemnation. So we look then at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in flesh, like ours, under sin's domain and as a sin offering. Jesus paid my price for my condemnation. He paid your price for your sin and deserved condemnation. The burden then is for us to accept it on His terms. Accept that payment and that gift on His terms. I remember, and I may have mentioned this in another context, but learning a lesson, well, I shouldn't say learning. I've learned it since. But being prepared to learn a lesson about giving. You see, any person in their own pride can give. They can give all day long. But the true humble giver is someone who also knows to receive. And that was a lesson my pastor was teaching me one time when I was in high school. And he told me a missionary friend of his came to visit. And his name was Billy Griffith, and Billy, before he left, knowing that the pastor himself was kind of struggling financially, gave him $200. And the pastor was like, no. You're the missionary. I need to give you money. And Billy looked at my pastor and said, listen, Bob, until you learn how to receive humbly, don't even try to give me money. And Bob took that $200 and learned a huge lesson. Pride holds so many people back from accepting the gift that Jesus has for us. Thinking, I will pay the debt that I have before God. And when I get before God, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works. But the Bible tells us the good works are nothing but filthy rags before the holiness of God. There are no goods that outweigh the bads. The only good there is the good of God, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. We can't let pride keep us from accepting Jesus initially for our salvation, nor can we let pride keep us from understanding what we truly know And this freedom of condemnation that we have because of that gift of Jesus Christ. Once we meekly admit our sinful and helpless state, once we humbly submit to Jesus as our Lord or commander of our life and trust in Him alone then, not in our works, but in Him alone to make us right before God and gain a position in heaven, being freed then from the punishment, deserved punishment of our sin by the love of Jesus, then we understand that all the charges are dropped, past, present, and future. There's not a Christian here, there's not a true believer here that can say they're without sin today, because we still, even though we talked about last week, we're a new creation, we still struggle with that old fleshly self. And we are sinful. But that the condemnation has been taken care of. And not only that, but it is a sure freedom from that condemnation. It is something that will be secure for us. So we read then, again in Romans 8, verses the last part of 31, through verse 35 and 37 through 39. If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than victorious through Him, through God, who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Freedom with real, absolute security is true freedom. Once we've accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, then His gift of love, we can know that we are free and secure in His love, and nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, can detach us from it. The question may come to mind, though. Will it last for me? We may understand that the punishment, deserved punishment for our sin has been taken care of by Jesus' love and sacrifice. We may even understand that we're secure in His love. But we know ourselves, don't we? We know ourselves. We know that we're fickle. We know that we fall. We know that we fail. We know that we struggle between the things of God and the things of this world. So will it last for me? Will it last in spite of me? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I am sure of this, that He, God, who started a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus refers to that day when Jesus comes to this earth and takes with Him His own. That's going to happen. It's going to be an amazing day. The world will truly stand in awe. Satan's going to have to do a lot of publicity to ward it off in people's minds. But you see, the thing is what Paul's telling us here is that Jesus, what he's really saying is Jesus is faithful, and when he promises something, he means it. He means what he says, and that Jesus will always be true to himself. So if Jesus is true to himself, then the faithfulness, the burden of faithfulness is on him. The burden of this truth and promise is on him. And he tells us, through Paul, that he will complete in us what he started. That's amazing. We can have great confidence because of that. We know, because of Jesus' love, that he is going to complete what he started. So when we humbly allow Jesus to lead and perfect us as we study his word, as we obey what it says, and as we develop relationships with other believers, then we have the confidence in our freedom that all circumstances will eventually be victory for God's purpose. So we continue in Romans chapter 8, reading at verse 26 through 30. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groaning. And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The Apostle Paul starts by saying this: anything you hope for and see, you're not really hoping for it. So the thing you hope for is something unseen. And then he likens that to the Holy Spirit working in and through us before the throne room of God. So when we pray, we don't always know what to pray for. We may pray for things that really don't matter. But the Holy Spirit knows what matters for us, and he is the one that goes before God's throne. We don't see this, but we can know in sure hope that he is interceding for us with the things that we really need brought before the throne of God. And then he's saying that if we are created in Christ Jesus, then we are going to more and more and more be conformed to his image, if we're true believers. So I say to you, are you being conformed to Christ's image? If you are fighting against that, do you have some misery in your soul? If you're not being conformed to his image, and if you're fighting against that formation of Christ in your life, and there's no misery, then maybe there's no true salvation. That's between you and God. I'm not here to judge. I'm just telling you what Scripture tells us. But for those of us who know that we have accepted the love of Jesus as our salvation, we know we're, as I talked about before, we're a new creation. We're made new. And we will conform. It doesn't mean we won't slip up, we won't fail, we won't have some struggles. Absolutely we will, because we're still bound to this evil world and in our flesh. But are we struggling? And are we working? And yes, it might even be stressful to conquer the flesh. And are we continuing, and when we fall, to get back up and head towards Christ every time? These are things that are indicators. Not just, I give up and then I'm just going to go live like the world. That's the freedom that we can have. And it is a peace in our soul. And therefore, we can have victory. We will see the things that are evil around us, that happen to us, or whatever else. We'll see how God has victory in it in our lives. Pretty amazing as we watch this happen. So this means then we are free to be debtless from our sin. That's that we're not going to be condemned. We're free to be secure in Jesus. We're free to love and grow in our faith. And we're also free to claim victory for God's purposes. But wait, there's more. You know, Billy Mays has passed, but his "but wait, there's more" is still with us. When evil, stress, difficult circumstances, persecution, sufferings, etc. creeps in, let's be honest, it's often accompanied with fear. Often is accompanied with fear. But because of Jesus' love, guess what? We know that we're free from fear. I'm going to take a little deviation from what I have in my notes, because I just want to say, in testimony, right in our midst, right here at Zohar Baptist Church, one of our body, and we have several examples. I'm just going to talk about someone that's dealing with something right now. And I want us to be praying for her. And her name is Joyce Cash. And she's dealing with a reoccurrence of breast cancer. It's very aggressive. And they're having to do some aggressive things, surgery and some, that they've already done and some other things. But guess what? Every person that has gone to see her has told me and told me about it, has said how at peace she is. How much joy she actually, I mean, it's like she's not down. She's facing this with joy. That's freedom. She's free from fear. Can you even put a price on that? I've known guys that were Navy SEAL types, and they could go into all kinds of gunfire and bombs and everything else without fear. And yet, when their bodies get old and decrepit, and they start facing things like cancer and things like that in their life, I've seen sheer terror on their face before. And here's this little woman that has not faced bullets and bombs, and yet she's facing something that others crumple at. She's facing it like a tower of strength. And there's other examples right here in this congregation. Just get to know everybody, and you will be baffled at the strength that comes from the freedom in Christ that we can have. And so I come back to what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Jesus loves me, giving me confident freedom to face God here on this earth, in prayer, and one day face to face in eternity. This I know. So back to Ephesians chapter 11. A few verses, if you're still there, before verse 14. And Ephesians 3 verse 11, this is according to God's, his eternal purpose accomplished in the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. In him we have boldness and confident access, meaning to God, through faith in him. So the bottom line is, today, we're studying and learning that Jesus loves us, and so we know we are free. Free to be debtless of our deserved sin penalty and secure in Jesus' love. Free to grow to completeness in Jesus. Free to claim victory for God's purposes in any and every circumstance. Free from all fear. And free to be confident in the presence of Almighty Creator God. Our challenge today, really for this week, I've been talking about, the first week we talked about focus this week. I said the first week. On what do you know because Jesus loves you? The second week, I said, you've been focusing on this. We've been talking about it in services. And I said, now share it with someone. Anyone. But this week, this is Memorial Weekend, starting into a week where we have thoughts of people's sacrifice. And what do? We tell about people we know that have sacrificed for our freedom here in this country. We've been set free because of Jesus' sacrifice. So this week, I say, challenge for all of us is to tell someone that we know doesn't know Jesus or we believe is wandering from their faith in Christ and tell them what you know because Jesus loves you. In a testimony. Not even saying memorize a bunch of verses and tell them. Just in a testimony. Tell them what you know because Jesus loves you. That's our challenge. I hope that we'll go out encouraged. I hope we'll go out from here excited because of this freedom that we have, this confident freedom that we have. And we have that freedom in fearlessness to be bold for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty Creator God, you tell us in your word that when we bow in prayer, we actually boldly enter into your throne room. In my humanness, I cringe at that, but just knowing what we just read there at the very end, Ephesians 3:11-12, that Jesus, because of you, and I know you're at the right hand of God's throne as I pray now, and because of you, I thank you that each one of us, individually and as a church body, we can come boldly into your throne room. We don't have to fear being struck dead because you've given us that freedom and confidence before Almighty God. And so, God, we pray. We pray for this nation at a time where Christian principles and biblical principles are not just under attack, but are being torn down. But God, we live in the world, and this is a worldly nation. May we not allow our Christian principles and biblical principles be torn down. We live in a world and a nation that is forgetting God. In fact, trying to push you out of everything. But may we, knowing the freedom that we have and confidence we have in that freedom, give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to be bold and to reintroduce Jesus to anyone and everyone that comes across our path. So may we be encouraged, may we be excited even, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, having that work perfected in us. And may we be excited then to share what we know because of your love, Jesus, with somebody that we're pretty confident doesn't know you or has wandered from their faith in you. May we leave here with the absolute fire to love somebody to loving you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.